We are studying the book of Hebrews here on the Radio Bible Course, and we're happy that you tuned in. Turn in your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 11. We're beginning today with verse 5, where the author continues to give us examples of men in the Old Testament who had faith. He began with Abel, who offered an acceptable sacrifice to God. That was in verse 4. Verse 5 talks about Enoch. It says, Enoch was taken up so that he should not see death, and he was not found because God had taken him. Now before he was taken up, he was attested as having pleased God. But the writer continues, and without faith, it is impossible to please him, for whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he is a rewarder of those who seek him. By faith, Noah, being warned by God concerning events as yet unseen, took heed and constructed an ark for the saving of his household. By this he condemned the world and became an heir of the righteousness which comes by faith. Two men of the Old Testament disappeared from the earth in a miraculous manner. One is Elijah, and his departure is described in 2 Kings, Chapter 2. Beginning with verse 1, it reads, When the Lord was about to take Elijah up to heaven in a whirlwind, Elijah and Elisha were on their way from Gilgal. Elijah said to Elisha, Stay here. The Lord has sent me to Bethel. But Elisha said, As surely as the Lord lives and as you live, I will not leave you. So they went down to Bethel. The company of the prophets at Bethel came. They came out to Elijah and asked, Do you know that the Lord is going to take your master from you today? Apparently, the Lord had revealed that to those prophets. Yes, I know, Elisha replied, but do not speak of it. Then Elijah said to him, Stay here, Elisha. The Lord has sent me to Jericho. And he replied, As surely as the Lord lives and as you live, I will not leave you. So they went to Jericho. The company of the prophets at Jericho went up to Elisha and asked, Do you know that the Lord is going to take your master from you today? Yes, I know, he replied, but do not speak of it. Then Elijah said to him, Stay here. The Lord has sent me to the Jordan. And he replied, As surely as the Lord lives and as you live, I will not leave you. So the two of them walked on. 50 men of the company of the prophets went and stood at a distance, facing the place where Elijah and Elisha had stopped at the Jordan. Elijah took his cloak, rolled it up, and struck the water with it. The water divided to the right and to the left, and the two of them crossed over on dry ground. When they had crossed, Elijah said to Elisha, Tell me, what can I do for you before I am taken from you? Let me inherit a double portion of your spirit, Elisha replied. You have asked a difficult thing, Elijah said. Yet, if you see me when I am taken from you, it will be yours, otherwise not. As they were walking along and talking together, suddenly a chariot of fire and horses of fire appeared and separated the two of them. And Elijah went up to heaven in a whirlwind. Elisha saw this and cried out, my father, the chariots and horsemen of Israel. And Elisha saw him no more. Then he took hold of his own clothes and tore them apart. What a dramatic story of how God took Elijah from the earth in a chariot of fire. That God would do this was revealed to the prophets both at Bethel and at Jericho. They knew about it. God had revealed it. No one could know such things unless God revealed it by His Spirit. So these two prophets walked along the road and a chariot fire came and separated the two, and Elisha saw Elijah no more. The other Old Testament person who was taken off of the earth without dying was Enoch. He was the great-grandfather of Noah. His life is briefly discussed in Genesis chapter 5, where at the age of 65 he became the father of Methuselah, the man who lived longer than any man on the earth. It tells us in Genesis 5 that Enoch walked with God after the birth of Methuselah 300 years. In verse 24 of that chapter it says, Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. Moses wrote this account of Enoch. Where'd he get the information from? This happened long before Moses was born. Moses got his information from God. For Moses was a prophet, and God reveals things to his prophets. How was Moses able to write about the creation of the heaven and the earth, and about Adam and Eve and the Garden of Eden, and about Cain and Abel, and about the great flood and Noah? He lived long after those events. He was a prophet, and God could reveal the past just as he reveals the future. That's God's work, and we are asked to trust it, because the Holy Scriptures are without error. When Paul the Apostle stood before King Agrippa, he made a defense of his position, and he said, "The Jews seized me in the temple courts and tried to kill me, but I have had God's help to this very day, and so I stand here and testify to small and great alike. I am saying nothing beyond what the prophets and Moses said would happen, that the Christ would suffer, and as the first to rise from the dead, would proclaim light to his own people and to the Gentiles." And then Paul said to King Agrippa, "King Agrippa, do you believe the prophets? I know you do." The Old Testament was held in high esteem, both among Jews and Gentiles alike, in ancient times. Not so today, however. Nevertheless, the Word of God still stands sure. When Paul was on trial before Felix, he said this, "I believe everything that agrees with the law and that is written in the prophets, and I have the same hope in God as these men," referring to Jews, "that there will be a resurrection of both the righteous and the wicked." He said, "I admit that I worship the God of our fathers as a follower of the way which they call heresy. I believe everything in the law and the prophets." Unfortunately, not everyone preaching the gospel today agrees with the Apostle Paul. Many men who have come out of seminary have been taught that the prophets and the law are not trustworthy. Enoch is also mentioned in the beginning verses of the first book of Chronicles, and again in the genealogy of Jesus, as recorded in Luke chapter 3, verse 38. Finally, we learn more about this remarkable person, Enoch, in Jude, verse 14. It says, "Enoch, the seventh from Adam, prophesied about these men, quote, 'See, the Lord is coming with thousands upon thousands of his holy ones to judge everyone and to convict all the ungodly of all the ungodly acts that they have done in an ungodly way and of all the harsh words ungodly sinners have spoken against him.' The New Testament, therefore, as well as the Old Testament, bears witness to this person, Enoch. Now, what about his prophecy given in Jude 14? Well, the usual interpretation of it is that it's a reference to the coming of Christ to earth again with thousands of angels in judgment. Because of the past tense found here in the verb, it might, however, be a reference to the judgment by the flood, in which event Enoch preached warning the people of his day about the judgment of God. We know that the flood was a judgment of God. Genesis chapter 6 reveal the reasons for the flood. It tells us that Noah was a righteous man, blameless among the people of his time, and he walked with God. But it says the earth was corrupt in God's sight and was full of violence. God saw how corrupt the earth had become, for all the people on earth had corrupted their ways. So God said to Noah, I am going to put an end to all people, for the earth is filled with violence because of them. I am surely going to destroy both them and the earth. This man, Enoch, walked with God, preached for God, had faith, and as the final clause of Hebrews chapter 11, verse 5 points out, he pleased God. The Old Testament limits Enoch's activities to walking with God. But when the Hebrew Old Testament was translated into Greek in what we call the Septuagint version, the translation said Enoch pleased God, and our author here uses the translation of the Septuagint. The result was Enoch's translation. This means God took him and changed him. Paul explained in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 51, that something similar would happen to those who believe in Christ. It says, Listen, I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep, but we will all be changed, in a flash, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the perishable must clothe itself with the imperishable, and the mortal with immortality. Unlike that man in the Old Testament, Enoch, we die. But for the Christian, death is not a tragedy, for we too will be changed. God promised it. There'll be a resurrection, and our bodies will be changed from mortality to immortality. Death is only a break, a brief break, and the Bible refers to it as sleep. But it's really not an interruption for people of faith, because we walk with God here. Death means we will walk with God there. Death means walking in God's home instead of our home, for the Bible tells us to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Now Hebrews chapter 11 verse 5 tells us that faith was the reason for Enoch's translation. But Genesis didn't refer to his faith, although walking with God implies his faith. If Enoch pleased God, then he must have had faith, and that's why verse 6 is written, Without faith, it is impossible to please God. All of these tapes on Hebrews have been recorded and are available for your purchase. You can get information on how to order these and many other teaching tapes by requesting our teaching tape brochure. But here's another announcement. How should the stories in the Old Testament be interpreted? Some of them seem incredible, like the creation story, the great flood, the giving of the law at Mount Sinai, and the large fish that swallowed the prophet Jonah. The important question is, what did Jesus believe about these stories? Our teaching tapes on the authority of the Bible will convince you that he did believe these stories. You can get more information on how to order all of these tapes by writing to the Radio Bible Course. Until tomorrow, this is Nick Calavoda reminding you that the word gospel means good news.
Our address is Radio Bible Courses, Post Office Box 14916, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, 70898. The website is rbcword.org.